is a nightmare.
A horse that walks in his sleep.
Correct. Pay that man $11. Do you know the difference between a popular girl and an unpopular girl?
Yes and no.
Correct. Pay that man $12 because...
It pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and a man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Roberts, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is again, that quiz program that has college professors beating their heads against stone walls. With a board of experts, you should have the walls beat against their heads. In fact, these experts are so dumb, they think an autobiography has four wheels. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled, How to Make a $10 Bill Look Like a $20, or Seeing the World Through a Cell Window. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
That's surprising.
I stood on the bridge at midnight and the wind was full of air when somebody pulled the bridge away and left me standing there.
Okay.
You know, I got awfully wet.
Yeah, at the bridge,
yes.
That must have made you cross. Well, next we have a woman who never wore a bustle because she didn't need one. A woman who went south to reduce because that's where she needed it. Here she is, the Claire Booth Luce of the Bowery, Miss Lulu McConnell.
Mr. Howard, I must tell you about Sadie Rice. She does the silliest thing.
Well, now, what's the trouble now?
Well, as I was leaving the house this morning, Sadie stuck her head through the fence and she said, Oh, Lulu!
Yeah.
Oh, Lulu!
Oh, Mom.
On your way back, will you stop at the store and get me a cake of flea soap?
Flea soap.
Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, what's wrong about that?
What's wrong? Can you imagine what's wrong?
Well, you know, after all, you know, it's the little things in life that count.
The little things. All right, please, cut it out.
Well, I'm not going to get her the soap.
All right. Don't work yourself up in a ladder about it. Next, we have a man who has plenty of breeding, but it's all bad. A man who has to work because he's too nervous to steal. Here he is, the rotten apple in the tree of life, Mr. George Shelton.
Phyllis, how will you settle some...
Your stomach.
Will you tell me which is the opposite end of this table?
Well, the opposite end of the McNaughton is sitting.
Oh, no, I was up at that end, and he told me it was down at this end.
I see. Look, please, the end of the table where you are not is the opposite end. When you go to the opposite end, then the opposite end is the opposite end. Do you understand?
I understood my income tax return better.
Okay. It's very simple. The end away from you is the opposite end.
Well, all I can say is that's a funny way to build a table, two opposite ends.
All right. Never mind. Let's get started here. The first question tonight comes from Corporal Charles Panton of Camp Sutton, North Carolina. Here is a question. What do they build in shipyards?
Mr. Howard, do you mean where Mr. McNaughton is sitting is the opposite end of the table?
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, that's right.
You see, Mr. McNaughton, you're wrong.
All right.
You're at the opposite end of the table.
Okay.
No, you're wrong, old boy.
Yes.
You're at the opposite end of the table. I'm right here.
Yes.
Have been all evening.
Yes.
And one of you gentlemen is a liar.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not a gentleman.
All right. Please. You're not even a lady. Let's get on here.
What end of the table am I at, Mr. Howard?
Well, you're in the middle. At least that's where most of you is. So, let's please get on with the question. Corporal Canton is probably sitting at his radio waiting for the answer.
I wonder if he's alone.
Well, that wouldn't help him any anyhow.
I don't see why they build tables with two opposite ends.
Ah, please. The question is, what do they build in shipyards?
Who said anything about shipyards?
Yes, Mr. Howard, why do you keep interrupting our discussion?
Look.
Every time we start talking about something, you butt in with some silly question.
Ain't this terrible?
I think perhaps if we answer the question, he'll leave us alone.
Look.
What was the question, Mr. Howard?
The question is, for the last time, what do they build in shipyards?
Mr. Howard, ships don't have yard.
Ships don't have
it. They don't even have a lawn.
They don't have a lawn.
Whoever heard of a ship with a yard?
All right, though.
They have decks.
Oh, no, you're wrong. Cards have decks.
Cars have decks, eh?
Yeah.
I always thought the cars were a baseball team.
Yeah, baseball team.
Somebody's been carding you.
Never mind, the question's not about baseball. Don't let it get lost in the shuffle. Will you please answer?
You know, Mr. Howard, I got a table at home hasn't got no opposite end.
Will you cut it out, please?
How could you have a table, Mr. Shelton, with no opposite end?
It's a round table.
It's a round table. Gentlemen, the question is, oh, nuts. Can we have some music or something? That sounds like it. At least those guys should play chopsticks or something, wouldn't you? Well, here's the next question. It was sent in by Colonel Lemuel Q. Stupnagel of South Norwalk, Connecticut. Colonel Stupnagel. That's funny. I didn't know he could write.
Oh, rather, Mr. Howard, yes. I think he just wrote a book. I think it's called You Wouldn't Know Me from Adam.
Oh, I'd know him from Adam any day.
You would?
Sure, he dresses different.
He dresses. Okay, here's the Colonel's question. Here is the question. What fruit are we out of when we say, yes, we have no bananas? Now, don't slip up on this one, folks, please.
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question? It appeals to me.
It appeals. What fruit are we out of when we say, yes, we have no bananas?
Well, who do we say it to, Mr. Howard?
Who do you say it to? You say it to anyone.
You mean you walk to the first person you meet on the street and say, yes, we have no bananas? Why, you'd get pinched.
You'd get pinched?
Sure.
I was trying sometimes.
Say, Mr. Howard, you wouldn't be talking about strawberries, would you?
We're not talking about strawberries.
Boy, you should see the strawberries my Uncle Webfoot grows on his farm.
All right.
Yes? Why, you know, he has them. What, they're as big as lemons.
How did he get them so big?
He puts fertilizer on them.
Oh. He puts fertilizer on strawberries?
Yep.
We put cream and sugar on ours.
Get back to the Colonel's question here, please.
Certainly. Say, Mr. Howard, suppose I stood on the table. Oh. Which would be the opposite end?
Mr. Shelton, you're a moron.
Not only that, I got six toes.
I imagine
you
got six toes.
Hey, I say, talking about fruit, Mr. Howard, I'm going to raise potatoes again this year.
Talking about fruit, you're going to raise potatoes.
Yes. Say, how did your potato crop turn out last year?
Oh, wonderful. Why, do you know last year...
How big were they?
Oh, they were pretty big. I remember...
Now, how big? Was it about as big as a grapefruit? Was
bigger.
Yeah.
Well, last year...
Were they as big as watermelon?
Oh, bigger. Why, would you...
Bigger? Say, I'd like to buy 100 pounds of them.
Mr. Shelton, we never cut a potato in half for anyone.
Look, please, what fruit are we out of when we say, yes, we have no bananas?
I say, that used to be a song, didn't it, Mr. Hart?
That's right.
Well, perhaps somebody in the orchestra could play it.
Oh, never mind.
How about the oboe player?
What's an oboe?
Don't you know what an oboe is?
Certainly, an oboe is an English tramp.
An English tramp. Fine, an English tramp. That's hobo.
Oh, no. A hobo is a sort of a mechanical man.
Oh, no. That's robot.
No, a robot is what you go rowing in.
Uh-huh. Please, no, Miss McConnell, that's rowboat. A big thing round in front with a big square seat in the back.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
Walking down the avenue, I met a funny fellow with a funny point of view. He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be deaf, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much, be a dope, you're right, you shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much, wait and see. My kisses had no technique, my romance hit a new low. So now my girl is teaching me, and I learned awfully slow. Oh, it pays to be ignorant, have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Mr. Howard, pardon me. Did your son Thomas really write that song?
Yes, Miss McNaughton. He wrote it on Monday, and I changed my will on Tuesday.
Oh, don't worry about it, Mr. Howard. You just leave everything to me.
Leave everything. I get the point there, Mr. Sheldon. Now we come to that part of the program where we ask the studio audience to help us out. We've invited two members up here on the stage. They can ask the experts a question. And if they get an intelligent answer, we give them the entire receipts of the last Red Cross drive. If they don't, If they don't, we give them enough to sit in on a few hands of our musicians' poker game. Who is our first guest, Mr. Roberts?
Well, Mr. Howard, our first guest tonight is Sergeant Daniel Kahn of the U.S. Air Force.
Oh, how do you do, Sergeant Kahn? Good evening, Sergeant Kahn, and may I thank you for coming up here. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us, Sergeant?
North Hollywood, California.
North Hollywood, California. Well, my. You are a little ways from home.
Well, spin me around and call me Egg Beater.
Call you Egg Beater, yeah.
You know, I used to work in that town.
What are you trying to do, be a Henry Aldridge at your age? Let's get on.
I used to work in that town.
All right, please.
Yeah, I did. I was a typesetter in a dairy.
Really? Interesting. A typesetter in a dairy.
Yeah, I used to print butter.
You used to.
You know, Sergeant Kahn, I was in the last war, yes. I may be in the army again. Just wait until I get in the army. I'll fight and I'll fight and I'll fight. But I guess they'll take me anyway.
Yeah, I guess. Things are going to be in a pretty bad shape when they take you. I'm sorry for the interruption, Sergeant Kahn. What did you do before entering the service?
Well, I was an assistant film editor, motion pictures.
Oh, film editor, huh?
Yeah.
What company?
Universal Pictures.
Oh, Universal, huh?
How about
Film. You worked with film. Well, that's the kind of brains our experts got, film brains. Yeah, they're not developed yet, if you know what I mean.
So transparent, huh?
You said it transparent. Well, we're mighty glad to have you with us.
What's your first name, honey?
Danny.
What?
You can call me Danny.
Danny?
Oh,
cute, isn't it?
Danny Boy.
Is that a sweet name, Danny? I just love it. Well, you can just call me Wallpaper.
Wallpaper?
Yeah, I brighten up the room.
Yeah, brighten up the room. Brighten up the room. Marvelous. Mr. Kahn, you should be hung, I might add.
Well, you should get a paste in the mouth for that one.
All right. Don't let them annoy you, Dan. Would you kindly pick a... Boy, Mr. Sheldon, a jackass with your brains would still be a jackass.
Who called George Sheldon a jackass?
Yeah, who called a jackass George Sheldon?
I'm insulted.
Yeah, so is the other jackass.
I haven't said a word, Miss Allen.
All right, please. Terrible. Miss McConnell, a jackass never talks.
Thank you, Miss Allen.
Oh, you're welcome. Please, can we please get back to the question? How many rooms in a six-roomed house?
Of course, this is only a guess, Mr. Hard, but I would say seven.
Seven? How could there be seven rooms in a six-roomed house?
Well, there could be a room in the attic.
I see. Miss McConnell, tell me something. Do you live in a house?
Yes, but I'm going to move.
Uh-huh.
We don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, we got water in our attic.
You've got water in your attic?
Yep.
You mean there's water in the cellar?
Well, it started in the cellar. Now it's in the attic.
Now it's in the attic.
Well, why don't you build yourself a new house?
That's what we're going to do after the war. My old man picked out a site.
You're telling me.
Speaking of houses, I live in a two-room house.
You live in a two-room now,
yes.
I imagine. A room for each of your heads, Mr. McNaught.
Well, oh, boy, we have a very nice house where I live. You're right next door to a bowling alley.
Next to a bowling alley?
Yeah.
My word, isn't that rather noisy?
No, not at all. No. Why, you can hear a pin drop.
You can hear a pin drop. Yeah. I expected
that.
Yeah. Oh! Oh, now, stop it, please.
I don't get it.
You don't get it. say thank you disgustingly. Boy, what music. I might add, folks, that all members in our orchestra are 4Fs. They've been rejected by every other orchestra in town, if you know what I mean. Well, who have we next, Mr. Roberts?
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is Corporal Catherine Fournier of the Women's Army Corps.
Oh! How do you do, Miss, what is it?
Fournier.
Oh, Fournier.
Oh,
I thought Mr. Roberts was making it hard. I can say Fournier, but I can't say Fournier. What's it? Fournier. Welcome to a place to be ignorant. How are you feeling?
Fine, Mr. Howard.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad. You're not nervous, are you?
No, sir.
Well, that's great. Most of our guests come up here for some reason get nervous. Well, you don't look a bit nervous. Where's your hometown? Would you care to mention it, please?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. That's very nice. You certainly are a long ways from home. What did you do before the war?
I was a dental technician.
Oh, a dental technician. Always down in the mouth, I suppose. Well, wait a minute.
Don't cross those bridges until you come to them.
Oh, don't cross them.
Mr. Howard, you know, I had a dentist.
You had a dentist?
Yes. You always made a mountain out of a molar.
A mountain. Very good.
Maybe not.
Thank you, Mr. McNaughton. Well, we're mighty glad to have you with us, I might say. It certainly is good. We always try to give the old hometown a plug.
You know, I knew a very nice young lady in that town, you know.
In Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, she worked in one of those chock full of nut stores.
Chock full of nuts?
She was the cashew.
Cashew?
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Oh, my. Worked in a chock. She must have been a nut. Pay no attention to them. How do you like New York?
Fine, Mr. Howard.
Good. Are you enjoying yourself?
Very much.
That's fine.
I love your uniform, honey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you look swell. You sure do. You know, Mr. Howard, I'm going to be a test pilot.
Well, you're going to be a test pilot?
It sure is going to be fun testing all those pilots.
All right. Kindly reach into the dunce cap for us, Corporal, and pick out a question. And when you get a hold of it, would you mind reading it, please? Just read it to us.
Among the rulers of England, which came first, Henry the VII or Henry the VIII?
Oh, very, very good question. Who came first, Henry the VII or Henry the VIII?
Now, let me figure that out. Don't tell me. Uh-huh. Eight goes into seven. No, you can't put eight into seven.
No.
So there's no use forcing it.
There's no use forcing it. No. Look, did you ever go to school, Mr. McNaughton?
Oh, rather, yes, indeed. But I had a little trouble with my teacher.
You had trouble with your teacher?
Yes, but I got her number.
You got her number?
Yes, Bryant 89970.
Look, please.
Boy, I'll never forget my school days. I used to carry the girls' books home.
And sell them.
Yeah. You know everything, don't you, huh?
Yes, I know everything.
Then which is the opposite end of a table?
Mr. Sheldon, if you don't keep quiet, 12 months from today, you'll be dead exactly 1 year.
You know, Mr. Howard, when I was in the eighth grade at school, I was voted the most likely.
The most likely to what?
The most likely to stay there, Mr. Sheldon.
Oh, is that so? Mr. Howard, I'll have you know that when I was a girl, I was chosen Miss America.
I see. Well, Miss McCown, when you were a girl, there were very few Americans. The question is, who came first, Henry the VII or Henry the VIII?
Let's see, was Henry the VIII the king who had so many hysterical wives?
No, no, you mean historical wives.
I mean hysterical. No. They all lost their heads.
They're all
They were regular cut-ups.
Did you ever have a wife, Mr. Shelton?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, but she left me.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I lost her on account of my gambling.
Your gambling?
Yeah, I lost her in a crap game.
It must be awfully hard to lose a wife.
Hard? It's almost impossible.
That's a fine way to talk about your wife. If you didn't like her, why did you marry?
Well, I proposed to her in a garage, and I couldn't back out.
Okay, that was Al Tracy's Unfinished Symphony. In fact, In fact, any tune he starts, he can't finish. The crackpot... question tonight was sent in by Mrs. Evelyn Rabin of Detroit. She wants you to tell her the name of this famous baseball player. He is known as the King of SWAT.
King of SWAT?
Yes.
Where is that country, Mr. Howard? Never mind.
He used to play with the New York Yankees. He became famous for his skill in knocking them over the fence.
Wasn't that hard on the Yankees?
He knocked baseballs over the fence, not the Yankees.
Oh.
He was the best man of his time at swatting flies.
Why didn't he use fly paper?
He used fly... All right. His nickname is Babe. His last name is the same as a girl's first name. You've heard about this baby on the radio.
Baby Snooks.
That is wrong. But send Mrs. Raven $16.59 for a question. Well, it looks as though it's time to lock up our board of experts until next week, when we'll be beaming back your way. In behalf of those morons, seventh class, Harry McNaughton, George Sheldon, and our nail-up girl, Miss McConnell, the only girl whose picture is pasted in Davy Jones's footlocker, Lulu McConnell, our answer to V2, 3, 4, and 5. But that's enough praise. Remember to tune in again next week. And here is Terry Allen to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be...
That's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Sheldon, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.